As regular listeners to the show already know, the worst oil spill in U.S. history happened right here in New York City at Newtown Creek, which runs between Brooklyn and Queens. On today's Underreported, we will get an update on how cleanup efforts are going with two representatives from the environmental organization Riverkeeper. We're joined now by Hudson Riverkeeper President Alex Matheson and by Hudson River Program Director Philip Musegas. And I'm very pleased to welcome them back to the show. Hi.
Nice to see you, Leonard.
Hi, Leonard.
Alex, some of our listeners may still not be familiar with it, so can you give us a brief summary of the Newtown Creek oil spill story?
I can. Yes. We think that the damage to the creek, at least in terms of the oil spill, dates back to about 1950 when there was an underground explosion. The creek has been used as a heavily industrialized site for many, many years, for about 150 years, including oil refineries and also oil storage tanks underground.
And that was in Greenpoint?
In Greenpoint in Brooklyn. And Newtown Creek, for your listeners who may not know, is a 3.5 mile tidal creek that dumps into the East River between Queens County and Brooklyn's County.
Is it an important riverway in New York City?
Well, it has been historically. It's been the center, along with the Gowanus Canal, of industrial activity and manufacturing and export and commerce. So it's been a very, very important creek to the city historically and economically, yes.
And when was the leak first noticed, and how was it noticed?
Well, I mean, I'm sure Exxon Mobil's predecessor, Standard Oil, was well aware of the explosion. I mean, it was written about in the press. The explosion was underground. It sent manhole covers 25 feet in the air. Windows were shattered across neighborhoods.
But were they aware of the extent of the damage?
But what I don't think they were aware of then is the extent of the damage and the extent of the leak that resulted probably because of the gas explosion. It really wasn't until 1978 or 9 when the Coast Guard, doing aerial patrols, noticed this plume of oil dumping into the creek.
So, Philip, how many gallons of oil have been spilled to date? Do we know?
It's estimated at 17 million gallons. So it's much, much larger just in comparison to the Exxon Valdez oil spill in the 1980s. It's orders of magnitude larger than that.
50%, I've heard. And is the oil still leaking?
The oil is the plumes of oil underneath, basically underneath 55 acres of Greenpoint and seeping into the creek. Basically, the leak into the creek has been slowed down by ExxonMobil's, made some efforts to pump some of the oil out of the ground, but it's a very, very slow process, and they have not really been aggressive about trying to remediate the plume. So there's still a 55-acre plume of oil under the land and actually seeping into the creek.
Now, why haven't they been more aggressive? Is it because ExxonMobil wasn't the company that owned the place at the time of the explosion?
Well,
or is it just that they don't want to spend the money? Because I can't imagine that they think they're going to get away with this.
Well, from our perspective, it's a combination of ExxonMobil's unwillingness to really take responsibility for the spill, and that combined with weak enforcement from the state of New York. I mean, the New York Department of Environmental Conservation entered into a settlement agreement with ExxonMobil in 1990 with the intention of having them clean up the spill. Exxon moved very, very slowly to try and remediate it. The state never really took aggressive enforcement action, and that lack of action, lack of enforcement, led to our filing a lawsuit in 2004 against ExxonMobil.
Now, Alex, what about the surrounding neighborhoods, Long Island City, Williamsburg, Bushwick? Are they also affected?
Well, again, not by the underground oil spill directly. The 55 acres that Philip mentioned is under Greenpoint.
How big an area in Greenpoint? Greenpoint's a fairly large area. Is one-third of it affected by this?
I don't know exactly how much it is, but I'm guessing a pretty substantial portion. Mm-hmm. 55 acres is a pretty big area. But again, remember, Greenpoint is a combination of both kind of light industry and also residential. I think in terms of the number of homes that sit on top of this oil spill, it's about 100, maybe 125 mm-hmm. homes.
Has there been a public health impact?
It's undetermined yet, but one of the things that we've been calling for is the state to conduct health impact studies, because one thing that we do know, Riverkeeper conducted a few years ago a soil gas testing to see if there were some of the off-gassing from the underground oil and petroleum products was actually seeping through the soil into homes. We discovered that it is, and ExxonMobil acknowledges as much and actually has been working with some homeowners to try and deal with it. But there's no question that if you're breathing highly toxic petroleum-based fumes, it's hard to imagine there's not some kind of health impact. What they are precisely is yet unknown.
After one of our previous segments on this, a woman called in really frightened because she was pregnant, and she was afraid that that might have an impact on the fetus. And there's no way to tell anybody.
It's, I think at this point, until they start doing thorough studies, it's impossible to link, you know, ExxonMobil's spill with any particular health effect by the community as a whole or by any individuals. So it's very it's difficult to make those kind of assertions. But nonetheless, as I said, it cannot be a good thing in terms of community health.
What's the status of the lawsuits?
The lawsuit, as I said earlier, we filed our lawsuit in 2004.
That's 5 years ago.
Yes, it did. They moved very slowly. New York State actually joined our lawsuit in 2007, which we were initially very happy about that. The Attorney General filed a lawsuit. And as it stands right now, we are the litigation is temporarily on hold while all the parties, Riverkeeper, the State of New York, and ExxonMobil, are examining whether we can come to a settlement agreement on this on the spill.
But this is not just a matter of spilled oil, is it? Aren't there carcinogens, lead, and other toxins also in Newtown Creek?
There are. There are a number of heavy metals.
They've all been dumped in by different manufacturers who have been alongside the creek?
That's what we believe. Yeah, there's a number of industrial polluters or industrial facilities that have operated on that creek for decades now and that have contributed to the pollution there. So ExxonMobil is not the only source of the pollution. You know, heavy metals, volatile organic compounds.
Dry cleaning chemicals.
Dry cleaning solvents. Up. There is another problem in the Greenpoint neighborhood with what they call the Meeker Avenue plume, which is a solvent plume which underlies part of the neighborhood, which the DEC is actually looking at. So it's important to remember this neighborhood has really suffered unfairly for decades now, has been ignored by the state and has had to deal with just legacy pollution that has affected people's lives that live in this neighborhood. So it's I think we're really fighting for the rights of the people that live there, that have lived there for a long time, to have a quality of life.
And our ultimate goal here is not just to make ExxonMobil pay for the oil they spilled. Obviously, that's one part of it, but mainly is to get them to remediate the site. It's really to clean up the creek as a whole, and the oil spill is one big part of it, but there's CSO, sewage problems there. As Philip mentioned, there's all kinds of other industrial
The TCE
sites.
And PCE
exactly.
Solvents have already been proven to be quite dangerous. The reason that this has been overlooked is because the area generally is lived in, the residents are relatively poor? Is it simply that?
Well, I think that's certainly part of it. The community in Greenpoint particularly is a largely immigrant community, kind of low to moderate income, not a community that historically has had a lot of political power, although that's changing now at the grassroots level. There's a whole alliance of folks that are working. But I think the other piece of it is that I think Newtown Creek was seen as an industrial corridor for a long time, and I think there was kind of an acceptance, but nonetheless an acceptance by the state and the city of New York that, hey, that's an industrial site, so pollution is kind of a normal part of business, and we'll focus on other parts of the state.
That was a low priority, I think,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My guests are Alex Matheson and Philip Visegas of the River Creek, the Hudson Riverkeeper Organization. Is that what it's
Riverkeeper is what we go by short. Yep.
This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. So we really have two cleanups here, and I don't know how much money is being estimated to take care of it all. We're talking about cleaning up the creek, and we're also talking about cleaning up the contaminated soil underneath Greenpoint.
That's exactly right.
Anybody estimate how much both of those cleanups would cost, and is there a priority here? Is there more talk about doing one before the other?
Well, I think there's really two parallel things going on. We have the litigation that is focused on the ExxonMobil oil spill and the contamination under Greenpoint. So the plumes of oil that are under the land, that's one issue. That's inactive litigation. The other issue is the creek itself, which has a historical a legacy of pollution. And that's where the EPA Superfund assessment comes comes in. The EPA decided to nominate Newtown Creek to the Superfund list and to consider whether they would actually place it under Superfund. And so EPA is doing water sampling, sediment sampling now to find out whether it's polluted enough to actually qualify. And, you know, we would be shocked if it was not listed on the Superfund list and cleaned up.
Well, complicating this, Alex, the last time you were on the program, it was to talk about concrete dumping into the creek by Nikon. Has that stopped?
Yes, it has, actually, as a result of our lawsuit. And we actually reached a settlement with them. We won the case, and they were actually forced to pay a pretty large penalty and, of course, to stop dumping the cement into the creek.
Well, just last week, the EPA nominated Gowanus Canal in Brooklyn for a Superfund site designation. What does that mean for the canal and surrounding residents, and why Gowanus before Newtown?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily Gowanus before Newtown. Don't forget that Newtown Creek was also nominated for the Superfund designation last summer, and they're going through a process of studying the creek further to make that determination. So Gowanus has actually followed in terms of being nominated. They're going through a public review process now, and then they'll investigate further and make that decision.
And not everybody is happy about the Gowanus Superfund designation. Some people are arguing that it's going to depress property values. There are other people who just complain that that if you make it into a Superfund, it's just going to take too long to clean it up.
Well, I think those are false arguments generally. You know, if you look at the experience of Superfund around the country, when you come in, you identify a site as being heavily contaminated. Those are not typically areas that are thriving economically. And when you go in there and actually remove those contaminants, you actually then create the opportunity for revitalization of the community. So I think Gowanus, which is, I mean, this is no secret. Gowanus has been a heavily industrialized canal for a long, long time. Everybody knows who lives in those surrounding communities that it's a very contaminated canal. And if you go in there and get an expedited cleanup and you get federal resources to bear, I think you'll actually have, over the long term, much more economic prosperity for all the residents.
As I remember it, there were filters put in, and the Gowanus Canal was being cleaned up, and then the pumps failed, and it returned to its worst polluted condition. So this almost sounds like New Orleans.
Well, it is the New York City DEP, which is the New York City Environmental Bureau, has what they call a flushing tunnel, which actually the intention is to pump clean water in from the East River and kind of recirculate the water in the Gowanus Canal, because the canal is fairly stagnant. It doesn't have a steady flow going out to the East River. So
why doesn't it? Didn't it originally?
No, it's basically a not a natural waterway. It's a you know, the water tends, because of the currents and the way the tides move in the East River, the water tends to back up into the canal and pollutants tend to concentrate there. So
Do the same issues apply to both bodies of water? Are there the same contaminants? Because it's my sense that the Newtown Creek situation is a lot more dire.
I think both creeks are in pretty bad shape in terms of environmental contaminants. But I think that the history of these two waterways is pretty similar in the sense that they were the two major industrial corridors for New York City for, again, the last 150 years. But a lot of similar activities took place. Cement manufacture, tanneries, oil refineries, coal gasification, which is highly toxic activity. And so on. So I think the history in terms of contamination is quite similar. I think in terms of what kind of development both of those might see over time, they are quite different. As you said, the Gowanus does have quite a few residential neighborhoods around it.
But Greenpoint is one of the hot areas of the city, and we're starting to see serious residential development there. And I gather there's also a canoe and kayak launch slip into Newtown Creek. I'd hate to think of what happens if somebody lets a hand trail in the water.
Well, we actually encourage that kind of activity and improvement of public access to Newtown Creek, because while it's not a creek that you'd want your kids to jump in to today, by improving access, by creating parks along the creek, by creating boat launches and so on, you develop a constituency for that creek so that they also join the fight to clean up this creek and restore it to its original health and also return it to the community. So it's one of those, you know, chicken and egg issues, but we think on the whole it's helpful to improve that public access.
So what happens when it becomes a Superfund site? If it decides, if they decide to have it go through, does the taxpayer pick up the tab?
Unfortunately, at this point, the taxpayer would be on the hook for the initial cleanup costs. And then under the current Superfund law, then the EPA would go back and figure out who had contributed to the pollution on these sites and try to collect the money from these companies. That's unfortunate because when Superfund was originally passed, it had what they call a polluter pays fee system, where based on the income and the earnings of industrial polluters, they would contribute money into a fund, into a general fund that then would be used to pay for cleanups ahead of time. That part of the Superfund legislation has expired. There's new legislation pending that would reinstate that polluter pays fee, which we support. So we think that would help basically put the onus back on the industry to pay ahead of time for the pollution that they know they're going to create and get the taxpayers off the hook for cleaning these things up.
But could this also be part of the president's economic bailout plan, a way of stimulating the economy by actually getting work done? I'm not sure it's all that different than building a railroad.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think major remediation projects do create jobs and economic activity. But to Philip's point, it's really a question of who should pay for that. I mean, there's lots of economic stimulus opportunity. And in this case, we think the polluters should pay directly for these cleanups to happen. And those are still going to create jobs. And let's reserve some of that taxpayer money for other infrastructure projects.
Now, why hasn't the city or the state been involved in this? Or have they?
Well, the state of New York was involved with the Greenpoint spill, with the ExxonMobil spill, and came to this settlement agreement in 1990, which was
1990 is a long time ago.
It's a very long time ago, and unfortunately, the residents of Greenpoint have had to live with this this lax cleanup now for over almost 20 years. So we're concerned about that. But I think the state's been involved. I think the reason to argue for the EPA and the federal government to become involved, especially with the creek cleanup, is that they have the resources and the expertise.
What about getting the rest of us involved? Anna in Greenpoint left a comment on our show page. She wrote, "I've been a resident of Greenpoint for 5 years, and I want to get involved. What can I do?"
Well, come to the Riverkeepers website for a start. It's www.riverkeeper.org, and she can learn all about the efforts to clean up the site, clean up both the creek itself and the oil spill underneath Greenpoint. And she can also get involved in the local community group called the Newtown Creek Alliance, and they are an increasingly active army of concerned citizens, and they're very effective and savvy, and they are a critical part of this effort. I guarantee you that the state, the city, the EPA, elected officials are not going to get involved as rigorously on this issue unless they hear from the community, and that's why they're critical. So she's got lots of work to do and places to help.
And they can. We have a link, by the way, to your website at WMYC.org, so listeners who are familiar with our website can just go there. And I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us, Hudson River Keeper President Alex Matheson and Hudson River Program Director Philip Masegas. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you, Leonard.